going. You see nothing. You see nothing right now. It's all good. I feel like I need to walk off stage and come back. All right, LifePoint Church. How's everybody doing today? Great. It's 2017, man. It is nuts. 2017 has started off pretty poorly for me, I must say. After church Sunday, I went down with the flu, was in bed till about Thursday, so has not been great. So I'm hoping that today kicks off a new week and starts this joker over, and it'll be great. So, but thank you all so much for being here. I'm excited to have you. 2017, I believe, is going to be an incredible year, so I'm really excited about what's going on at LifePoint, what God's going to do. Next week is our 10-year anniversary service, which is incredible. Yeah, we can give it up for that. So, man, it's just a great time. So I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're a part of what's going on. Last week, if you were here, Daniel, he spoke, and he's out with the stomach bug too, so ha-ha, have fun. No, that's terrible. Oh, sorry, Daniel, if you're listening. Sorry about that. I know I'm a rude person sometimes. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Last week, Daniel talked about, he gave us a good challenge about the new year, about 2017. And one of the things he said is in 2017, I will do this, right? And he talked about kind of naming that one thing and going after that. What God is going to push you and challenge you to do in 2017. Like, what is that thing? What is 2017 going to look like? And today I was thinking about that as Daniel was preaching. And one of the things that I thought about personally, but also something that I think that we as people of God need to hear, is that one of the things that we need to do in 2017 specifically is we need to obey. Right? We need to learn to be obedient. And it's so important, because when we look into the New Testament, you know, we look in the book of Acts a lot. You know, that's where we look at what the church is to be, like what the church is all about, right? And when we look in the New Testament, we see that the first century church, they began to adopt this lifestyle that was radically different than what they did before. You know, during the life of Jesus and then after his departure, their life was radically different because of obedience. It was one of the main reasons, because they chose to obey the teaching of Jesus. It's critical. It's really, really important. But I don't know about you all, but for me, the word obey tends to make me cringe a little bit, right? I mean, in my 34 years of life, I'll be honest, I've not been real well known for being obedient, okay? You know, that's not been my gig typically. So it leads me to cringe a little bit when I hear the word obey. I kind of want to push back a little bit on it. And culturally, especially within the church, the word obey comes with a good amount of baggage. I mean, I think we would all agree with that. If you've been in church for any length of time at all, the word obey has a lot of baggage with it. And we tend to think that it's something that's impossible to do, like to fully obey God. It's just this difficult task, and we kind of withdraw and we balk at it, especially when we're confronted with it, right? When someone's like, you need to obey, you know, we're like, oh, hold up, you don't know me, right? We balk at it, and we push back, and my hope is that we can begin to chip away at that today. That we can begin to kind of break down those barriers and really understand what it means to obey and why it's so important. And it's so important that we begin to move from just knowing about God or even believing in God, to move from that into true obedience to his word, to his teaching. Because when we do that, man, it's a game changer. I mean, it changes up everything when we start to put into practice what Jesus taught. When we begin to obey, I mean, it changes our marriage, our finances, our relationships, our friendships, our everything. Obedience is the ultimate game changer, yet we push back on it. And we push back on it because obedience actually requires us to do something, right? I mean, we can't just sit back, you know, and watch and observe. When we're talking about obedience, we actually have to do something, and that's when a lot of us want to pull the shooting bell, right? Because it's tough. It's difficult at times. We know that when we do that, that it's going to change up our relationships, right? Or the way we live or the way we operate, maybe operate in our business or whatever it may be. We know that when we truly begin to obey, it's going to change things up. See, we love the coming to church at times, and we come to church and we hear God's word, and we're challenged with that, and we love that because we get more connected to God, we grow a little bit, we get some of our questions answered or some new thoughts on this and that, and we're good with that because we can do that with very little commitment, right? We can sit here and we can do that. You know, we get stoked off the believing part, right? I mean, because when we believe, you know, then we have this peace and this security of what's going to happen to us when we, you know, when we take our final dirt nap, you know what I mean? You know, we know what's going to happen, and we have that peace and that assurance and that comfort. But to actually obey requires us to do something. It requires us to put into practice and action what we actually believe. And that becomes difficult. So if that's you and you struggle with that, like I know I do, if you struggle with that, my hope is that during this conversation today that you can kind of just take a deep breath, relax a little bit, and we'll work through this. And my goal is to alleviate some of that fear, some of that confusion that surrounds the word obey and obedience, especially when we're talking about being obedient to God. I want to alleviate some of that because once we can do that and once we can see it for what it really is, then ultimately we can begin to live the life that God created us to live and to do the things that God created us to do, which is ultimately why we're here, right? That's what we're about. So when we first start thinking about and looking at obedience, I think one of the more natural and the most common expressions of this that comes up in our daily lives is that when someone has, you know, our best interest in mind, and we know that, and we trust that, we know that they're there for us, they care for us, and they really want what's best for us, we start to open ourselves up to their influence, right? It's natural because we have that trust. We trust them, so we start to open ourselves up to their influence. I think a perfect example of this is when you love somebody, right? Or when you fall in love with somebody. Okay, when you fall in love with someone, you suddenly you're blinded by everything else, and you open yourself up completely to their influence. When you truly love someone, or when you think, that you love someone would say that might be obsession, but think about it. When you think back on the people that you've been in love with, or that you wanted to be in love with, or whatever it may be, probably some of the craziest, stupidest things that you've ever done is a result of that, right? Because you completely opened yourself up to their influence. And it may have led to some regrets. It may have led to a lot of money spent or some embarrassment, right? And you did something really stupid. I think back when I was at second grade, I was in second grade and I thought I was in love with this girl and I wanted her to be my girlfriend and I wanted to impress her more than anything. So I went to my barber at the time, which was my dad, in the kitchen. And I'm like, hey, Pops, like, you gotta give me the sickest flat top. Like she's gonna love it. And my dad could throw down a mean flat top. So I'm like, dude, you gotta do this. So he's hooking it up and he's leveling that, he's making sure everything's good, and he sees this one hair, so he pulls the clippers back, and when he does, he puts a line just straight down the middle of my head. And in my conservative good Christian school I was in, couldn't have lines, because back in the day lines were it. So the only thing that we could do was buzz my head. That was the only way to salvage it. So, buzz my head down to the scalp. And I forgot to mention that I had just lost both my front teeth. And I forgot to mention that it was picture day the next day. So, I have the most embarrassing picture of my entire school career of me with a buzzed head with no teeth. And it all was because I wanted to impress some girl, right? So, it led to a lot of embarrassment because I was focused on impressing her. And I was open to her influence and what I thought that she would want me to do or look like or whatever it may be. It's kind of the most natural expression that we have when we feel like we love someone and we're in love with them or we trust them. We open ourselves up to their influence. And with Christ, it's the same way. As a true Christ follower, once you actually realize what he's done for you, through his son Jesus, when you realize that he has your absolute best intentions in mind and he loves you, you fall desperately in love with him and you start to build this incredible relationship with him and you want nothing more than to open yourself up to his influence and to follow him and to obey his teachings because you know that's what's best and what he has in mind and in store for you. That's what real obedience is. But see, yet again, the church has royally jacked this thing up, right? I mean, we really have. We've got this thing so completely backwards. Maybe this is one of the reasons that either, you know, recently or some point in time in your life that you completely bailed on the church. Or that you kind of just keep God constantly at arm's reach, right? Because of how the church has maybe handled this. Or what you think that it may mean to believe or to obey. See, there's far too many churches out there that have kind of lost sight of this kind of sequence, this order of kind of discover Jesus and kind of begin to follow him and then believe and then you're called to obey. They've kind of lost track of that. You know, it's always obey, right? You walk in the door of the church and it's like, hey, nice to meet you. Here's all the things that you have to start obeying today. And you're like, whoa, so this is my first time in church and you're telling me that I have to change my life like completely, like starting right now, like, or I can't be a part of this? Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying. And they pull the chute and they're gone and they bail because they're out of sequence. It's starting with obey. But see, when we look at the life and the ministry of Jesus, he never operated that way. I mean, think about Matthew. He didn't come to the tax collector's table and say, hey, Matthew, here's all the things I need you to obey. And if you do that, then you can come follow me. He said, no, follow me just as you are with all your baggage, everything you got going on. Come follow me. That's what he did. With Zacchaeus, it was the same way. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, if you can follow all of my commands and all my principles, then we can hang out. No, he said, hey, Zacchaeus, let's go to your house. I want to go spend some time with you. I want to build that relationship with you. Then ultimately, then it leads to obedience. That's the way it's supposed to be, but we've messed that up. I mean, the Ten Commandments, another perfect example. I mean, they're like the ultimate obeys, right? The thou shalt do this and not do this and all that stuff, right? I mean, we all know the Ten Commandments, but they're another example of this. Because do you know who the Ten Commandments were given to? They were given to Israel, right? That's who they were given to. But do you know when? I think that's an incredibly important piece is when they were given. I can tell you it wasn't day one. It wasn't day two. It wasn't even day three. It was on down the road. Jesus basically was, or God was like let me identify myself to you first. Let me let you know who I am and what I'm about. That's what God said. He said, let me know, I want to let you know what I'm about. He said, so I'm going to go ahead and deliver you from Egyptian captivity, right? And they're like, dude, that's awesome. Okay, what do we do now? Nothing. Just hang on. And they're like, okay. And then it's just, you know, then I'm going to deliver you across the Red Sea, right? Safely across the Red Sea. And then I'm going to feed you in the desert. And then I'm going to guide you by day and protect you by night. And then after several months of this, you're going to begin to see how much I really love you, that I'm here for you, that I got your back, that I have your best interest in mind. And man, they look back and they're like, man, don't we have such a good God? Like, look how great he is. Look how he sustains us. Look at how he loves us. And at that point, that's when God's like, you're right, I do. And because I love you, here's a few things that I want to give you to instruct you so that your life can be even better, right? Because he's like, you know, contrary to popular belief, you know, I kind of know what I'm doing here. You know, like, I created life. Therefore, I kind of know how it works. And because I know how it works, I have a few things to say about your marriage, right? Not because I want to control you and keep you from having any fun, but because I want to protect you, because I love you and I want to protect your marriage. And he said, you know, I have a few things to say about your morality, right? I have some things to say about that. Because again, I'm the one who created sex. I created morality. I created all these things for you. I created those things. And because of that, I know how it works. And I know what's good, and I know what's not good. I know what's positive for you and what's going to make your life better. And I know what's going to destroy you. So I have some things to say because I love you. And I know more about it than all of society, all of culture. I know more. I know more than Dr. Oz. You know, I know more. And I'm going to give you these things because I love you. And see, when you can get that and you can grasp that, then you can really begin to understand and freely, without baggage, without fear, begin to obey God. See, God wants us to discover him and then follow him, ultimately until it leads us to a place of belief. Then we place our faith and our trust in him as our Savior. And then once we do that, then we move into the place and we begin to obey. Again, not to get him to love us more, because he's shown us that he's loved us already, just more than he's ever going to. He loves us. And not to earn his love, because we can't earn it. He just gives it freely. It's a gift. He does it because he loves us. And he wants what's best for us. That's why he wants us to obey. That's why he provides us with this roadmap. So we need to learn to obey. So for the rest of our time today, we're going to actually check out a parable that Jesus told. And this came at the end of one of his most famous sermons, known as the Sermon on the Mount. Right? So we're going to explore this. And in case you don't know, a parable is basically just a story that Jesus would use to kind of drive home his point. Right? So this came after his Sermon on the Mount, which basically where he was teaching people that were newly followers of him how he wanted them to live their lives. Like, here's the instructions on how to live your life to the fullest, to make mass impact in the world around you. He taught on things like, man, when someone pisses you off, just turn the other cheek. Like, don't punch him in the throat, turn the other cheek. Not easy to do, but he taught them that. It was radically different, right? He taught them that if someone asks you to do something, to not only just do that, but to do even more. And to be incredibly generous. If someone asks you for something, give it to them and give them even more. He taught them things like forgive people, regardless of what they did to you or did to someone else that you love, forgive them. Forgive your enemies. And not only just forgive them, but actually pray for your enemies. These are some of the things that he was teaching them. And this was radically different. And he knew that if they put this into practice in their life, that things would be different. Like I said, it would be a game changer for them. So he was teaching them to do this. And he knew that just like many of us, it was going to take more than probably just that conversation, right? Just that, hey, here's the roadmap. Here's the instructions. He knew that some of them were going to need a little more convincing to take that next step. So he lays out this parable at the end of this message to kind of drive this point home, to help them to understand exactly why this was so critical. So let's go ahead and jump into this parable. And it's found in Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 24. And remember, this came at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's driving this point home. It's a very, very well-known parable. And Jesus said this. He said, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice. If they put them into practice, they don't just believe. They don't just go to church or pray every once in a while or do this or this. But if they actually put these words into practice. He says, they put these words into practice. They're like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Right? If you hear my words, put them into practice, you're like this wise man who built his house on the rock. And Jesus is basically saying that if you can obey me, you're a pretty smart dude, right? You're a smart person. And see, everyone that was hearing these words in this culture and in this time, and they all knew that you build your house on a rock, right? You build your foundation on something solid. I mean, that was a no-brainer. It was common sense. They all knew that. They were all tracking exactly with what he said. They knew this. So he was speaking their language and telling them that you've got to do this. He's like, I mean, think about it. There's like this guy that wants to build his house down, you know, on the river and the riverbanks and a nice river home. But you can't build it there. You got to go all the way up until you can get to some solid ground. right? So you get to the rock, and then you dig, and then you dig, and then you dig until you hit rock, and then you can build your house. That's what he was teaching them. He said, you know, nobody would spend all the time, the money, and the effort to build a house if it wasn't built on a rock. And people in this culture knew that. They were tracking with that. He was saying that obedience to him is equivalent to doing this, to doing everything that they knew. It was common sense. And he said, obedience to me and to my teaching is this exact same way. He said, that's how important it is. Because he knew that people would understand that before you built a house, before you did all the fun stuff and the pretty parts of designing the house and laying it out and picking out the paint colors and picking out the furniture, none of that mattered if the house foundation wasn't rock solid. And that's the connection that he was making for them. He was showing them that it's a waste of your time if you build it on anything other than the rock. And obedience to me is this exact same way. And if you can organize your life around my teachings and simply obey, say yes to me, then it's equivalent to building your house on this firm, solid foundation. And they understood that. It connected with where they were culturally. Verse 25 says, the rains came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. Yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. See, Jesus was letting them know that life's not always going to be all sunshine, unicorns, and rainbows, and all that kind of stuff. You know, all the emojis that my daughter sends me in every single text she sends, you know. Life's not going to be all that. That there's going to be tough times. That it's going to kick your tail every once in a while. That the storms are 100% going to come. It's not if, but when. And people are going to disappoint you. They're going to let you down, right? People are going to turn their back on you. Your relationships aren't going to always go according to plan. Your marriage is going to go through some rough patches. You're not going to communicate perfectly all the time. Maybe you have what you thought was your dream job and you're in it and man, things aren't going as you thought they would. And you're miserable. Or maybe you just unexpectedly lost your job due to budget cuts or whatever it may be. There's a storm that's going to come. Maybe your health is failing. But storms are going to come. And just like this house, man, if it's built on the rock, if it's built on the teachings of Jesus, man, your life is going to stand. Sure, it's going to be tough. Sure, it's not going to be fun. You might lose a few shingles or a shutter every once in a while. But you're going to stand. It's going to stand firm. Your marriage is going to stand. Your relationships are going to stand. Your finances are going to stand. Your emotional state are going to stand. Even if it takes some shots, you'll be able to weather that storm because your foundation is on the rock. That's what Jesus is letting them know. But see, Jesus didn't just stop there, right? There's a second part to this parable. And he says this in verse 26. He says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. No, I'm not going to sing the song. You've been to Sunday school, you know the song. That's probably what they're doing over there. But you're like this foolish man who built his house on the sand if you do not obey my teachings. He's basically saying, you're a fool. If you do this, you're foolish. And again, everyone in this culture understood that completely. I mean, as they're here and they're sort of thinking about that guy trying to build that house on the river and you know, he comes up and he's like, man, this is perfect. I mean, look at this spot. It's beautiful. Right here by the water, you know, the ocean or the river breeze is on point. Like, everything is perfect. I don't want to go up there. I know I should. I know I should probably go up there and spend the time and do all that. But, I mean, this is nice and I like it. It's comfortable and it's going to be easier. So let me just dig down here in the sand and go ahead and do that. And absolutely no one in this culture would have said, yeah, that's what we should do. They'd have said, no, that guy's an idiot because his house isn't going to stand. No one builds their house on a foundation that can erode, right? That can shift, that can change. Nobody's going to do that. You're going to build it on the rock. And Jesus is saying, exactly. And if you don't follow my teachings, it's the exact same way. You have to build your life foundation on the rock. And the way you do that is by obeying my teaching, by following me, believing, and then obeying my teachings. And if you don't do that, it's equivalent to building your house right down there on that riverbank. And it's not going to go well. You're in for some storms, and trouble's on its way. It's how important this is. I mean, it's important. Obedience. It's not just belief. I mean, belief is critical. I mean, that is the ultimate, okay? Placing your faith and trust in Christ is 100% what it's all about. That eternally connects you to the rock, right? Eternally connects you to God. But when we obey, that's what makes the practical difference in your day-to-day. Being obedient to God. Obedient to his word. That's where we're going to see that practical difference. I want you to write this down or take a picture of the screen or type in your phone or whatever, but I want you to catch this. I want you to really think about this. Practical obedience is what makes the practical difference. I mean, really think about that. Practical obedience is what makes the practical difference. Believing in your heart, again, that connects you rock solid to God. But your life, the outcome of your day-to-day, a lot of that depends on what you do with Jesus' teachings. What you do with his word. Do you just hear it, read it every once in a while, love it? Or do you actually put it into practice? And do you actually obey the words found in Scripture? Do you obey what Jesus laid out for us in the New Testament? In his earthly ministry, in his life, in his example. Are you obeying those things, or do you just like those things? Think that they're good things. There's a big difference. And it makes all the difference in your life. Practical obedience is what makes the practical difference. Verse 27, the rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house. The point he's making here is that these two houses experienced the exact same storm. The same conditions, the same water, the same winds, the same everything. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. All because its foundation was weak. It was built on the wrong thing. It wasn't built on the rock. It was built on the shifting sand. And I believe that this parable is going to intersect in our lives in one of three different ways. For some of us, it's going to come as a comfort, right? This parable is going to comfort us, gives encouragement. For some, it's going to come as a warning, and others as an explanation. See, as a comfort, it's going to come as a comfort to some of you because maybe you have decided at some point in time in your life to surround your life with the teachings of Jesus, and you've submitted to them, and you've opened yourself up to his teachings, and to following his word and his life to the absolute best of your ability. And you've dedicated your life to that, and it's changed the way you live, it's changed the way you do life, the way you're in relationship. It's changed your marriage, it's changed your finances, your friendships, it's changed everything for the better, and it's incredible. But man, sometimes every once in a while you get a little wore out. Right? You get exhausted. You start to wonder, man, is all this worth it? Is this worth it? Is this hard work worth it? You know, you see everybody else going out and doing all these things or doing what they want to do or living, you know, whatever kind of life and you're focused. And you're like, man, is it worth it? For the best of your ability, you're trying to not just be a believer, but you're trying to be a doer. And my hope is that this parable, if that's you, will come as a comfort to you and remind you that it's worth it. Keep up the good fight, right? Your foundation is solid, and your foundation is what's important. You know, you got to focus on your foundation before everything else because it's critical. So press on. Man, you're like the wise man. You built your house on the rock. And when those life storms come, you're going to be sustained. God is going to sustain you. He's going to help you to weather that storm. And at the end of the day, just like the house, you're going to stand tall because of him, because he loves you, because he has your back, because you put into practice his teachings and you were obedient. You made that difficult choice, and you live it out every day to the best of your ability. It comes as a comfort. For others of you, it may serve as a warning, right? It comes as a warning because you kind of got this mentality that, you know what, you know, I grew up in church, or I know about the Bible, or, you know, I believe in God, and you know, and I have all these things going, and I feel good about that, but I'm not really going to obey all of it, right? I'll do some things, but I'm not going to do these things because it's just difficult. I don't really want to mess with it, and I'm just not going to do it. And this parable should come as a warning to you. See, because you're laying the foundation for your life. Every single day, you're laying that foundation of your life. And the question is what are you putting that house on? What are you building your life on? On the rock, on Christ, on his word, in your relationship with him, or in the sand? This serves as a warning. Not like a ha ha ha, I got you kind of warning, you know, because, you know, a lot of times we think about God that way, or you might struggle with that, but that's not what it is. It's a warning like, hey, I love you. I want what's best for you. I don't want you to come crashing down. I want you to be able to weather the storm. I want to hold you up during that time. I want to sustain you. It's a warning of love and compassion, wanting to be in that relationship. He's warning us that without following his teaching, without obeying those things, man, you're like that house on the sand. And when that storm comes, you're in trouble. And he's saying that, you know, you can make that change. I mean, sure, maybe you're like, you know what, I've been doing my own thing for quite some time, and, you know, for the past couple years or whatever it may be, and, you know, things are going well. I'm getting ready to get married. I got a nice job. I'm making more money than I've ever made. You know, got a nice house. Everything's going smooth. But see, that's just a glimpse. That's just a point in time in your life. And when we're reading this, man, we're talking about this. We're talking about laying the foundation for life, for the duration of your life, not just for the next year or two, but forever. It's that important. And it serves as a warning to say, you know what? You need to rethink your foundation now. Solidify your foundation now. Because reality is you can't rethink your foundation in the middle of a storm. Right? If you were in the middle of a storm and you know your foundation was built on sand, there's nothing you can do about it at that time. There's nothing. When the floods come, there's nothing that rethinking your foundation at that point in time is going to do. You're in trouble. So we have to be proactive. We have to build our house on that foundation, our lives on the foundation of God now, while we have time. And you begin to build that, and you lay that foundation, and you dig until you hit rock. And once you're there, you stay there. For some of us, it serves as a warning. So when you look back, you know, after that storm, are you going to breathe a sigh of relief, or are you going to live in regret? What is your house built on? It serves as a warning. Finally, for some of us, it comes as an explanation. It comes as an explanation because right now, maybe you're in the middle of a difficult storm and life is beating you up. And it's tough. And you're drowning, man. You're not doing too well with it. It's beating you down. And you're sitting there like, God, where are you? Like, why are you letting this happen? Like, are you even there? Do you even care about me? And you've entered this storm. And it's not a storm like other people have gone through similar storms. But for you in this moment, you're not doing well. And you're struggling. And it's because you realize that your foundation was off. Your foundation was built on the wrong things. It's an explanation of what's going on. And the beautiful thing is that it's not too late. Yes, you're going to go through the storm and continue, but you can begin right now to start making that change. See, that's why so many people, after a massive life storm, come running back to God. Not just in their heart or in their minds or in their beliefs, but they actually begin to change their life because they know what it was like with a foundation on the sand, and they had to deal with that aftermath. that house that came crashing down, their life that came crashing down. They had to deal with that. They don't ever want to experience that again. And so they run back to God. They change the way they live. They change the way they believe and the way they obey God. That's what he wants. He doesn't send the storm to crush you. But he wants to sustain you when it comes. So what is your foundation built on? On the rock or on the sand? And again, anyone who knows me, I'm not saying that this is easy. Trust me. Anyone that knows me knows that I'm not the poster child for obedience, right? I struggle with this. I've been on every side imaginable when it comes to this topic of obedience. Been there, I've done that. But the real question comes at the end of the day is, who are you going to trust? Seriously, who are you going to trust? Are you going to obey God, the teachings of Jesus, to sustain you? Or are you going to do your own thing? I mean, ask yourself this question. You know, ask yourself, am I going to trust me because I'm pretty sure I'll get it figured out, right? And I go to church, I read the Bible, I pray every once in a while. Am I going to trust me? Or am I going to trust the one who created me? The one who created all things, right? Am I going to trust the roadmap that culture and the media gives me on how to live my life? How to operate within my marriage and my business and my relationships and how I should carry myself? Or am I going to trust the one who loves me? The one who loves me and be obedient and open to his influence and to his teachings and obey? Who are you going to trust? And I don't know about you, but if God sent his son to die for me, to take my place, to take my sin, my shame, so that I could have life. If he did all that for me, then I would 100% know that I can trust him. I can trust him. And I can be open to his influence. I can open myself up and be obedient. I can believe that. I can get behind that. And I can build my life on the rock. Because remember, it's practical obedience that makes the practical difference. So really examine today. Figure out where you stand with this. Figure out what your foundation looks like, what it's built on. And make the necessary steps to ensure that that foundation is built on the rock. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. God, we thank you so much for just your word, your truth. God, the roadmap that you give us. God, we thank you for the teachings of Jesus that we have, the way to conduct ourselves, the way to live our lives, God, and may we be obedient to that. Not because it's going to make you love us more, or it's going to do anything like that, but because you love us and because you know what's best for us. So that we can live our lives to the fullest, God, and live the life that you created us to live and honor you through that, God. May we be an obedient people. God, may we be an obedient church. God, I just can't imagine the impact that you can make through LifePoint Church if we were obedient every single day of our life. God, may we be a church and a people of that, that's obedient. As we continue in prayer, maybe you're here today, man. You've been just kind of checking out the claims of Christ and checking, trying to figure this whole thing out. Maybe you've been following Jesus a little bit, but you've never really stepped over that line of faith, that line of belief. Maybe that's been a hang up for you, and maybe today you realize that next step, really, that first step of obedience for you is to accept him as your Savior, to accept that gift that he's given us, to not push it away, to not just kind of cruise through life on doing our own thing, but to surrender our lives to him. So scripture tells us that he so loved the world that he gave his only son for us, so that we could have life, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be eternally connected to him, eternally connected to the rock. And if that's you today and you're ready to step over that line of faith, man, just call out to God however he leads you. I mean, it's not this magical prayer, it's anything like that. It's belief. It's believing in your heart, confessing that you need a savior, that you're sinful, that you need a savior. And it's believing that he is your savior, that he died for you and rose for you so that you could be connected to him. So you call out to him however he leads. If that's a hang up for you and you don't know what to say, you don't know how to say it, just from your heart cry out to God. Say something like, you know, God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you died on the cross and rose again for me so that I can have life eternally with you. God, I confess that I have flaws, I'm not perfect, and that I'm in desperate need of a savior. And I'm asking you to save me today and to be my savior. I mean, if those were your words or something like that, that you called out to God and you confessed and you believed this morning, man, I'm telling you, it's the greatest decision you've ever made in your life. It's the greatest step of obedience you've ever made. And if that's you, just on that connection card, just let us know that so that we can just celebrate with you and talk with you. Or you can come talk to me after the service and let me know, man. We want to walk point with you. We want to celebrate that new life. God says that when you come into his family, that the old has passed away and everything is new. You're a new creation immediately at that point. But as we continue in prayer, maybe you're here today and you are a Christ follower and you've followed him and you've believed, but this piece of obedience is just a hang up. And if that's you, man, how's your foundation? What's your foundation look like? What's it sitting on? Maybe this was comforting to you today, and I hope that's the case, because that means you've got your foundation rock solid. But maybe it served as a warning. You're kind of just cruising along. Shore up that foundation today. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till that storm hits and blindsides you and crushes you. Get that foundation shored up today. Begin to obey. Again, not because of a list of rules and do's and don'ts and trying to measure up, but because he loves you and he's given them to you so that you have a full, incredible life that's far better than you can do on your own. Or maybe you're here and it's an explanation of kind of what's going on. And if that's you, man, I pray that God will lift you up and hold you through this storm, and then you can come running back to him. But whatever your situation may be, just do business with God. Be sensitive to his leading. And when he speaks, man, obey. It's worth it. Sure, it's going to be tough work sometimes, but it's worth it. I promise you, it's worth it. God, again, we thank you for your truth. God, I pray for each and every person in here this morning, God, that you would just speak to them, God, whatever it is they need to hear. Even God, if it has absolutely nothing to do with anything that was set up this morning, that's cool. God, I pray that you would just move and work in the hearts of the people that are here. God, give them comfort, courage, strength, love, whatever it is that they need right now from you, God, I pray that you would give that in a powerful way, God, and that they would shore up their foundation or sustain their foundation, God, or begin to build their foundation today. God, we love you so much. We thank you for the fact that we can come here and hear from your word and worship you, God. May we never take that for granted. It's your name we pray.